across Maya is a violent sickness altering the very form of nature. The people cower behind city walls, losing their connections to history and all hope of a better life. But six seasoned adventurers, Allegan, gnome sorcerer, Logoth, the bone-armed cleric, Mativis, Varana samurai, Nydia, hag hedgewitch, Ogun the Anvil, human cleric, and Ravi, half-orc magus librarian, will be called out of retirement to battle monsters and the sickness itself, speak with the gods above and below, and separate myth from truth. Join us for The Great Old Ones.
Hi, everybody. I forgot to hit record. You've missed about 5 minutes of what's happened. I'm a goober. I'm going to catch you up so the party doesn't have to play extra stuff. So
no, we could. It wasn't here. It wasn't that much.
Okay. I mean, we can go back. So, you guys, welcome, everybody. We're happy to have you. Like I said, I forgot to hit record. I'm a goober. So what ended up happening last game was after an explosive fight with a troll, multi-headed troll, party found a magical cauldron on its belt. They are continuing to travel through this underdark sort of area. After they had left the Dawnstone Temple, they are currently trying to find their way out, and they've been following this this stream of kind of brackish chemical water, which they have found now is explosive. And as they're traveling along, they've come across this wooden bowl that's sitting on the ground, and the bowl has a little symbol on it of Volkas, which is the traveling god in Maya. He's one of those that walk. He's an elderly man. Very spindly and spry. He carries a bedroll on his back, sometimes bespectacled, leans heavily on a walking stick, always barefoot, always running. Even if he's standing in one place, he's jogging. And he's the traveler. Doesn't really have an established temple, but has a lot of followers. Generally a good guy. They've just come across in the middle of this kind of completely out of the way, you would assume that no one has been here kind of space. On the side of this sort of pathed area, there's a bowl to this deity just sitting, and it has some offerings in it. It has a coin with a draconic stamp, a few uncut gems, some bits of twine, and a silver coin.
Can we tell if they've been there for a while or are they relatively new?
Oh, some of them have been there for a very long time. You're not entirely sure how long, but yeah, the coin with the draconic stamp on it is probably, it was super old. If you had some sort of appraisal skill, it would probably age you a little bit more, but just looking at it, it speaks of antiquity.
Can I read whatever draconic is on it?
It's just a draconic. It's a dragon stamp. It's not actually the words of draconic or on
okay.
it.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, I'm gonna ask the question I have. No onyx, right?
No onyx.
Okay,
none in the bowl. Yes, you would think, Mahat, that it's probably 10,000-ish years, maybe? The gems look fairly newer, but that coin's pretty old.
Gasp.
Yeah.
So everything in there looks pretty old. Nothing looks new.
Right.
Except for the bee pollen cake in there.
There you go.
Some silver.
Awesome.
And I will put in a potion of pep to wash that cake down.
Hooray.
Yeah, this is my bad. Right, I didn't ask the right questions. So by saying that there's a draconic stamp in there, there's a stamp of a dragon.
Correct.
Whom?
That would be a history or bardic knowledge.
Okay, fair enough.
No, sir.
No, okay, fair enough.
Pretty dragon.
It's a nice dragon.
I would like to roll knowledge history.
Go for it. You would think that it's chromatic, whatever it is. More than likely red, white, or black. Past that, you're not really able to tell. But just based on the way that it's depicted and the age that's on it, you would assume that more than likely that's the way that those things would be depicted from those ages. Like from that timeline, that's kind of how they would depict one of those colors.
Speaking of things draconic, have you come up with a name for your dark otter yet?
Oh my gosh, you're a mind reader. I have thought about, Ux is otter. It is a word for otter. But I was thinking maybe Anu would be more appropriate for a dragon that someday going to be an adult. Anu?
Or Big Pen. I mean, can it be dirty?
Name them dirty?
Big Pen. Call it dirty.
I was going to call him DB, Dustball.
It's dirty.
Anu means ancestor. It's an honorific.
Oh, nice. Well, I'll leave that up to you guys because I'm not deciding the name of the little creature.
Nydia wasn't talking to the the god in the sky.
Above and below.
So what do y'all think? Any of those sound good?
Anu sounds fine.
You've named it. It's going to be really bad now if we have to kill it at some point.
Well, it would have been bad to...
It won't be bad because you'll know what to name the equipment it becomes.
Greaves of Anu. Shield of Anu. Sword of Anu.
Wallet of Anu.
Wallet of Anu. The Anu collection.
Nydia holds, the dragon is on her shoulders and she, holds them protectively.
My God, Nadia, it has a name.
Well, I'm not sure. So I look over on my shoulder at their head and I say, does Anu sound good to you?
It seems to be okay with that.
Do they seem to respond?
Yeah, yeah. Since you've left the temple, it seems to have... It has a keen understanding of the world around it.
Okay. Well, I don't know what gender they are, but...
Anu is an excellent name, by the way.
Says dead hand.
Also, do you want to know what sex that dragon is?
Well, dragons can talk, right? So at some point, they're going to be old enough to tell us what gender they are.
Okay, would you like to know what sex that dragon is?
Just check for his Dragon Balls?
No.
No, it'll tell you when it's ready. You can sex a dragon just like you sex a chicken.
No, you can't.
Huh?
You can't.
They don't have a glowy?
Not until they reach maturity.
Okay, fair enough. My bad.
Yeah, that's the whole Yig thing. We'll get there. We'll get there.
I put my hand over their hindquarters. And wave my finger at Logoth.
It's okay. You guys are right. My bad. My bad.
So you guys put offerings in the bowl, and I'm assuming you're continuing to follow the little river.
Yeah, while we're talking, even.
Okay. So why you guys, as you
real quick, I'm sorry. Before we get away from this explosive water, can I take a little sample of it?
Yeah, sure. You're following a river that it's coming out of the ground from. So
right, is the explosive water, though, right?
Yeah, that's the whole river is made of this.
Yeah, I would like to take a little bit of that with us. It could be
go for it. 4d20 per square foot. That's the damage. As you guys are traveling, you kind of... These shards of the jagged rock that jut up, they're like tall grass. They're made of this razor-sharp, naturally forming rock. Kind of see that looking at it, if you touch it, it's going to cut you. If you get near it, it's going to rip up your clothing. If you run into it with armor, it's going to quickly start to pit your armor. It's naturally forming in a way that almost as if the earth itself was growing its own barbs and thorns made of stone, as opposed to a vine or branch would be growing, a fibrous thorn or burr. This seems to be like the rock equivalent of that. So as you guys are kind of making your way across, you see in the distance a luminescent, small, squat building. And as you draw even closer, you realize that it's a dwelling made of dawnstone. It's roughly the size of a small house. There's a large chunk of wall facing you. It seems to have been broken away.
Perception check?
Yeah, go ahead. Throw some perception.
Yeah, before you get into any more descriptions that might be and then the monster jumps out at you.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's nice. That's nice. Those are all nice. That's it. That's nice.
We're getting high 20s. Three of us.
That's not nice.
Looking at your hand again, Logoth.
Some of the things you guys see. there's a luminescent circle in front of the building made of eldritch energy. It seems to encircle a humanoid being. From what you can tell from this distance, the humanoid seems to be bare-chested. It has yellowish skin. Its ears are incredibly long, not just like your normal point of an elven ear, but it's almost like a poison elf ear long, pointed. Its eyes are large and kind of milky white. Its features are very angular. It seems to be wearing pants, and from its back jut two black wings. And it seems to be in like a kneeled position, but kind of a bound, hands behind its back, kneeled position. So you can kind of see that figure way out in the distance in this eldritch circle. There's also a field of bioluminescent blue flowers that you guys are able to perceive that's growing along the side of the building. And when I see field, I mean, it's a pretty large field of these blue glowy flowers. And there are kind of dark colored, maybe skeletal, you're not entirely sure, scarecrow kind of looking creations that are jutting up in this field. You can kind of see those out in the distance, but you're not close enough to discern exactly what they are. They don't appear to be moving or animated in any way. They just appear to be almost totematic, in a sense, in this field of flowers. So that's what you guys kind of see from where you're at currently.
Are we still in like a tunnel?
Well, it's you're kind of getting closed into the area that you're traveling in because of all these jutting rock kind of burrs. It's creating a really difficult terrain to kind of move through or across. So you're kind of having to stick to the areas where there's just soil, kind of the trunk down gray soil, and not running into these kind of black sharded rocks.
So it's like a wide open area that we've been walking through just following this river. We right. haven't been going through a tunnel.
No, correct. You're in a giant okay. space. Like the ceiling of the cave structure that you're in is, you know, at least a mile, if not more, above you. So you guys are in this huge area, but you're underground.
Okay.
And we just see the house, the bound figure, mm-hmm. or what looks like a bound figure.
Correct.
And a field of luminescent flowers.
Correct.
Mativis? Security? Security! Security!
We need a monkey adult.
Will we have to tell what creature is actually bound?
That would be a knowledge religion roll. Yes.
I like when Mativis rolls knowledge.
You're going to need above a 20. All right. Anybody who made above a 20, it's an Archon.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not the planetary archons like the kind you saw at the door, but it's definitely a lower class Denzian of the Silver City. It's an angel of some sort.
A little more like a cherub?
No. Bigger than that. Probably Legion. Jim would know. Yeah, it's definitely a Legion Archon.
Yeah, I'd probably turn to Jim and, Ogun.
Ogun, yeah, Ogun would know.
Guys,
why is that?
This is an Archon, not as powerful as the one we saw as we came in here, but definitely someone from the Silver City and probably not to be messed with.
Someone that might hate hags again?
And when you say that, you hear laughter.
From the yellow?
No. So, as all of your heads turn in synchronous motion, you see a woman. She has long black hair. Blue skin. She's clad in scale armor. It's decorated with blue and silver patterns. And she's standing atop this razor stone, barefooted. Her eyes, one light blue, one dark blue, kind of observe you with that stare that you're used to seeing from like an apex predator. In her left hand, she holds a scythe. The shaft of the weapon seems to be carved from some kind of ancient white petrified wood. It's covered in small black runic script. The blade seem that is attached to this this heft of wood seems to be made of some sort of large predatory tooth, and there are these strips of blue cloth that are stitched with ancient words of magic that are keeping it affixed to the wood. You get the impression that there's bits of energy drifting like motes of dust off of this thing. On her hip, there's a large leather book that's kind of strapped like one would imagine someone would carry a rapier. Or a dirk, almost like a secondary weapon, not in a typical thing that you're used to seeing a book as like armed. You know, somebody's ready to quick draw a book, but that's there. She also seems to have a lot of little bits of bone jutting from her belt. Each seems to be fashioned to a blade of sorts. And she's just kind of casually staring at you. Now she's laughing. And she's walking across the razor sharp rock, never taking her eyes off you. And she just seems to be moving with purpose, not in a rush, just kind of walking towards you, chuckling, almost as if what Nydia has said has amused her.
A friend of yours, Logoth.
Nydia gets into a stance, a protective stance, and shouts, "Hag!" and spits.
And I just go, whoa. Easy.
And Logoth moves forward friendly and says, "Well met, sister."
"Greetings, Darkling Spawn. What are you doing in my home?"
That's a hard question for me.
Just passed him free.
What do you want?
This is my house. I will ask the questions. I want to know why you're here. What has brought you to this place? You left an offering with my god. So for that, I owe you hospitality, nothing more. And I have yet to determine if you're a threat. If you are a threat, you will be killed. If you are not, then you may join me at my table.
We are infinitely grateful for your hospitality. And, of course, Volkas is a god to be revered.
I am honor bound to feed you and shelter you for the night, as you are strangers in this land. I still have not decided if you are to be trusted or not, though. The bonds of hospitality do extend to those who are entered here.
She waves a hand, and all of you kind of look behind you, and there's two more of them with ash-boned bows aimed at you, standing on the rocks on the other side.
"Hold. We're merely travelers come passing through this land on our way to the city to aid someone. We mean no quarrel with you. We have no battle with you. We only wish to spend the night and rest from our long travels."
"Then by all means, come into my home. Join us."
She says, you can tell that she really would rather cut you down, and it feels if she could, she would, but as she said, the bounds of hospitality are strong and important, and she's not going to do that. So,
okay, so she's definitely like under Volkas.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, as we go in there, I'll scuttle next to Ravi and bend down and go, "Please behave. Let's try and get through this without confrontation."
All right, so you guys can move. She kind of walks towards the house. She definitely casts some side eye at this dude right here.
Oh, the Archon.
Yeah, she casts some side eye at him, and this is her right here.
Guessing he didn't leave an offering.
Oh, he's a burner. We don't trust burners in these parts.
Is he the only one of this type that you've seen around here?
Lately, yes, he is. A strange question for a burner. It's interesting that you asked that question, but I guess we'll discuss that later. Please, Jonas, if you wish to eat, come, so.
And she walks inside. You guys feel free to move yourselves.
Allegan was the last one. I reached for Allegan and he ran away.
Is everything okay, Nydia?
Nydia's not inside.
I'm not either.
There you are.
So you guys, I'm going to move you out of this bedroom. That's a bedroom. I'll put you in the hallway.
The light.
Sorry, I couldn't tell which one.
No, it's cool. It's cool.
I am not okay with this. Hags are not to be trusted. They're to be killed, not trusted.
This is
a very good opportunity to find more information about the lay of the land.
We can leave the boys to figure things out and stay outside.
I'm not going inside.
I think.
But I also don't want to get too far from them. They're not safe either.
For now, let's play ball.
Hematevius, don't eat anything.
Went ham on the, buffet of FEY table. Like, really? Like.
No, I really want to jump back and forth. So this conversation I think they're having outside is keen, and I'm going to let you guys have that one, and I understand that you're not going in, so I'm going to jump back and forth between the two. For the party, the part of the party that went inside, she leads you into this broken Dawnstone house, and inside there are lots of Dawnstone statues of snake-like humanoids, but all of them seem to be carved to depict these figures that are kind of regal or noble. They also all appear to be stolen. Every single one of them. The majority of the bases of these statues seem to have been like chipped away or broken off from something larger. So you can kind of see them lining the wall in this hallway, in kind of the, as you peek into this bedroom, as you walk by, the foyer area, all of these little bits of rubble that are here are different shaped and sized busts and statues of these snake people that look like somebody has gone to a building or a structure that, or, you know, a statue or something that, that had these, like a fountain, and chipped off these little statues and brought them back and put them here.
Look like the humanoids we saw inside of the room.
The skeletons from the first floor, yes, they do. Yes, very much. Yeah, they look kind of like, and from the descriptions that you guys got of the children of Yig, it looks kind of like that would be what you see. She kind of leads you past these. She sits down at the table. I don't know if you guys are going to hang out in this hallway or you're going to come sit at the table. It's your call.
I'll come sit at the table.
Okay, move yourself to the table.
Not really a good spot for me to...
She says, I'm Ada. She motions to a slightly shorter and more curvaceous female humanoid with one blue eye, one green eye, blue skin that's kind of got a like a moray water pattern on it. She says,
And this is my wife, Kimbra.
Kimbra smiles and motions to the table. It's been set with various dishes made of vegetation and flowering plants. There's also a large stone platter with smoked eel and some unrecognizable but possibly baked reptiles with brightly colored tails, although they could be insectoids. You're not entirely sure what they are. You've never seen anything like that. She's like, please, eat.
This is delicious. Thank you so much.
She smiles and she says,
thank you. We really don't see anyone from the surface. I'm not sure what you can or can't stomach, honestly, but hopefully something agrees with you. Do you take fermented drink?
No, I think I had enough mead at the Fae table. Thanks. But I do drink water from our pouches, and I do eat some food.
Oh, I say thank you thank you so much for this, and I'll start on the vegetables.
As you eat, you feel replenished. Not, it doesn't really do anything for you on a stat-based level, but you feel more alive, more, I don't want to say like energized, because that makes it feel like it's like an energy drink, but just more revitalized. Like it feels like a calming and helpful, and you just feel more like yourselves as you eat.
Sticks to your ribs.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Your smoked eel is delicious. Thank you.
She just kind of nods, and she's eating and watching you, and not making a show of it, but as if she understands that eating something off of a plate that you are going to eat off of may give you comfort as you are strangers, and she is a stranger. She doesn't seem to be doing it begrudgingly, but at the same time, she's not doing it with, like, a zeal or joy. She's not stoked to be hosting you, but it seems to be her duty. So she's doing her duty. I'm gonna jump back out to my party outside and see what you guys are up to.
I'm like telling both of them, like, here's an out of the fact. She got the drop on us with two extra allies. We had no idea they were there. She's begrudgingly helping us due to some honor-bound oath. So that little plate, we just put some stuff in. So for now, play ball, play game, be polite, and we'll play out how it goes, find out some information, and we'll be on our way as soon as possible. I know you don't like hags, but starting a fight now is not a good idea. We can find out some valuable information.
Nydia listens and peeks through this crack. And I see a bedroom, right?
Where?
Here?
Yes, so what you see on that side of that room is there is a, this is a large green cot. Oh, I'm sorry, this is a large cot right here in the back. Right, and this green right here looks like some of that green stone from the temple, but it looks like it's been chipped away and brought here. And it has a small altar on it. Do you want to throw a knowledge religion?
Sure do. Didn't do so well, though.
No.
I'm a little distracted and angry.
So what is on this seems kind of strange to you. there's a depiction of a humanoid figure. There's a red sash tied around its where its eyes would be, and there's a there's markings, like almost like horseshoes, around the base of it. But that's about all you're seeing, and it's not ringing any bells of what it is to you.
And I don't see, like, a dresser, a chest.
Mm-mm. Just a bed, and, I mean, there's, like, so it looks like maybe there's some bundles of clothing and stuff underneath it, but, that's all that's in here.
Okay. That's my 6 seconds.
Okay. Ravy, what are you up to?
I'm inspecting the magic around this Archon.
Okay. That's some heavy binding wahidus is what that is. Looks like whatever it is keeping it there. Looks like the Archon is aware that you are looking at it, and it is looking at you. It's following you with its pupilless eyes. Just kind of, but it seems to not be able to kind of move, so its eyes are just watching you.
Well, I'm definitely not letting it out, so... We've already played that game. I'm just more curious about the binding magic, especially binding magic this powerful.
Yeah, it's some heavy wahidus. It looks like it would take at least 3 people working in unison to create this kind of magic. And just being indicative of the hags that, you know, you're aware of covens, you're aware of witches and the magics that they use, this would definitely be something that, seeing all 3 of them, you're assuming you could make the logical leap, like it took all 3 of them to cast this to bind this angel here.
I'm going to walk around the side of the house.
Okay.
I think that's my movement. There we go.
All right, cool. Let's jump back to the party inside. What are you guys doing?
So is it just the 3 of you out here? Or in here, I guess it would be more apt.
Yes, it is. We've been here for quite some time. But I think that's not a story best discussed over dinner. I'd be happy to share it if you'd like, but like I said, I'm not sure. It wouldn't turn the stomach.
Ooh, okay. No, I understand. I get that.
What brings you here? Why are you this far down?
Well, kind of a funny story. There was a storm, and we were seeking shelter in what appeared to be a giant hollow tree. And as we were looking inside this giant hollow tree, there were stairs. And curiosity got the better of us, and we decided to see what else was down there. And we found ourselves exiting into a cave, leaving what looked like a temple very similar, made out of stone, very similar to what you have here. With some depictions similar to what you guys have in here.
You found some stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Down into a temple.
Mm-hmm.
And the temple led you here?
After a few more flights of stairs and some twists and turns and various other doorways, yes.
That's interesting. Did you encounter any trouble getting here? I mean, this is really not a hospitable traveling country.
It's not, and that's kind of why I asked if it was just the 3 of you. There was a troll a little ways back who threw a boulder at us, and that did not go well for him.
I can't imagine. You all seem at least to be confident warriors.
So well, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't hurt a friend of yours.
No, not at all. We don't associate with stuff. Well, there's one, but we try not to. Anyways, that's not a story for a story.
I didn't want to make any assumptions. I'm real sorry. Mm-hmm. But there was also some, you know, creatures and oddities inside the temple itself. Encountered beings similar to the one you have outside. How long has he been there?
I would say 6 months, 8 months, somewhere in there. Did you run into Malik?
Malik. We didn't really get a whole lot of names while we were in there.
Half-elf, like snakes, big guy, druid, Malik. It sounds like you walked through his tree.
No. There was... But there was living quarters on the first floor, and it looks like whoever had been there had left already. We were very curious about who lived there ourselves.
The last I heard, it was a druid named Malik.
I'm going to jump back outside to see what the guys outside are doing.
I look at Mativis and grit my teeth a little bit, and then I come around the opposite corner from where Raby went, and I just want to peek around the corner because last I saw there was a hag there.
Okay. What you're seeing is these the things in the flower beds. There's like a large. It looks like it was purposely grown here. The soil seems tilled, but it looks like there's kind of scarecrows of sorts. They're made of bones. Clearly, looks like maybe a few of them are troglodyte. Some of them are other types of subterranean bipedal creature, but they're clearly shreds of garment are wrapped, used to wrap them together, and they look like they were just like kind of put here as like guardians for the flowers to kind of keep local wildlife away, in the same way that you would plant a scarecrow in your garden.
But the hag is gone.
But there is no hag. Yeah, there's no hag there.
Can I do a nature check on the flowers?
Sure. Yeah, these they're bioluminescent. They can kind of be used as a universal spell component. So anything that needs essentially a plant-based or light-based spell component, so you couldn't use it for like a pearl in the sense of casting like a fireball if you were a no-shit wizard using book casting, but if you were using physical spell components, this would pretty much knock anything out between like first and fourth level. You would be able to use a handful of these flower petals as a universal spell component for any school.
I would like.
That's because you rolled a 30.
I would like to pluck a handful and tuck them in my apron pocket. And then I would like to try to catch up to Ravy because the hag is no longer there.
Okay. Ravy, what are you up to? Mativis, yeah, because you'd be in the middle. So what are you doing while she is?
Obviously, I give Nadia a look, kind of like kind of play ball, and then obviously I notice Ravy's gone, and she's going, shit. Head after her, because I know she's going to cause some trouble.
Maybe. We'll see. Ravy, what are you doing?
I'm moving to the other side of this house, so okay. I will be coming right about here.
All right. There is a tall... She's got a midnight blue tone to her skin. One eye is ice blue, the other one is silver. She's a bow slung over her shoulder. She's leaning against the corner of the house. She's actually like kind of facing off into the direction you're walking, but she seems kind of startled by the fact you're there and takes a step back. She's smoking a long-stemmed pipe. It's got a little owlbear head for the bowl of the pipe.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You stay down here often?
This is where I live. My sister and her wife, we've been out here for ages. Are you a burner?
No, not at all. Do you head up to the surface anytime?
No, we can't. I would love to. I'm kind of tired of being down here, but this is our glade. We have to guard it, and the druids are gone. Somebody has to take care of this place.
Glade, this is where you grow things?
Yes, yeah, this is, this whole area, everything in a 3-day walk in any direction, it's under our protection. Malik, once he went through the change, we were kind of stuck with, taking care of his, territory, so this is where we're bound, this is where we're, you know, honor-bound to stay and protect, so that's what we do.
So you'll be here forever?
Until somebody relieves us, or the druids come back. Whatever happens first, I would imagine.
So you've seen a druid before?
I haven't personally, no. Do you guys not get taught this stuff?
No, we've been from a very far place. Very, very much so far from everything. There's a large wall. Do you... not know of the walls?
No, other than the walls of the Yig City, but that's a bunch of ruins and full of gugs. We don't even go there, unless we absolutely have to.
Heard of any sicknesses or anything?
Well, yeah, the sickness is why the druids are gone.
Back to the people inside.
So we were under the impression that druids had been gone for a while. When was the last time you heard from Malik?
No, we haven't seen Malik since he experienced the change.
What is the change?
The change? Where are you guys from? Are you not from here?
So when he actually ascended into nature, is that right. What you're saying?
When he had to take the form of nature because the Great Sickness had come and all the covens unified under the Green Queen.
Okay, excellent. And that happened in which age? This one? I'm very sorry. I'm being very, very forward with having a dinner conversation.
Where are you from?
Myself?
Well, we come from a little town called Cinderfall, and...
Black, actually.
And I'm just motioning to Logoth, like, where have you come from?
Black, it's a very rural town, and I'm very sorry if I seem like a pumpkin, by the way, but you have my apologies.
No, it's very confusing that you've got a burner, I'm assuming some sort of weaver who smells like a burner, you're traveling with a witch, one of the Solarians, and I'm assuming your bodyguard, and you're clearly one of the Fallen's favorites. She says that motioning to Logoth. And I say burner with no disrespect, sir. I didn't catch your name. Who are you? She motions to you.
Oh, I see. A burner. Oh, I see. In my land, I'm known as Smith.
Oh, no, no, burner. Your people, they burn witches. That's what you do, right? You're a burner. You burn witches.
I haven't burned any witches. I burn coal to shape weapons and armor.
But you're a man of the gods, right?
I am. I worship Klang.
And Klang no longer requires his subjects to burn witches?
Nah, it's nothing I have ever heard of in all of my days. We come from a faraway place, evidently.
That's fascinating!
Please forgive us our ignorance.
No, this is very different.
We have hurt witches before, but only those that have attempted to hurt us. Or people that we care about. I mean, we're traveling with a witch right now.
We don't sacrifice them, if that's what you're getting at.
It's just very strange. For someone in your vestments, I would assume, which I guess is a blemish on myself, that you would be a burner. You look like a burner. You carry yourself like a burner. You radiate the magic of a burner. I guess I shouldn't even use that term. I'm sorry, that's probably derogatory. A priest. Yeah, you is that proper priest, holy man?
I am a man of religion. Yes, I do follow Klang, but I do not sacrifice witches to him.
That's fascinating.
Madam, would anyone traveling with me look like a burner to you?
It's a strange time that we live in. Since the sickness, we don't know what to trust.
Good question, though. Ravi. We'll go to Nydia. What's Nydia doing? Mativis just went around the corner.
She is passing by Mativis.
Okay.
And trying to catch up to Ravi, who she immediately, when she rounded the corner, could see that she's talking to somebody, and I'm assuming it's the hag, so I'm worried.
Okay. Yeah, they're in mid-conversation. You catch the tail end of the last thing that they were saying.
So I can do a little dash to get by Ravi.
Mm-hmm. You gonna step in that water?
Oh, no. I'm not gonna step in the water.
I'm just asking.
Thank you.
Darn it. Mativis, what are you doing?
I'll run around.
All right.
Dreading what Ravi's
saying. Whoa, your friends, they come up on me real quick there.
Please ignore them. They're very curious.
I could see that.
Apologies. Mativus, calm.
You can see Nydia has her brow furrowed.
I give you a look like, what the fuck, seriously?
she's looking at you. The hag is looking at you.
Are you a changeling?
No thanks to some of your kind.
Oh, that's hurtful, but I'm still happy to see you, sister. We have not seen another one of our kind in ages. Wow! Oh, come with me. This is fascinating.
And she turns around. I'm
sorry. We will continue our conversation inside. Your name?
And she offers her hand to you, Ravy.
Oh, me, Ravy.
It's an absolute pleasure to meet you. My name is Dina. Please come inside. You've met Ada, my sister. Her wife Kimbra. They make a delicious spread. Please come in.
And she kind of turns around and walks towards the house. And as she's walking away from you guys, I mean, you could get an attack of opportunity if you wanted, I guess.
No. Okay. I'll follow, but I'm not happy about it.
Calm.
Ada, there's a changeling.
Ada's like,
wait, what?
You know, and Kimbra kind of comes out, and they're all just like ecstatic to see you.
How could they tell I was a changeling?
You smell like a changeling. Kind knows kind. It's not something you can hide from these types of people. These are no shit mojo witches. And they're just greeting you with smiles.
Hello. What coven are you with? Who sent you? Where did you come from?
I'm with my own coven, thank you. And I send myself wherever I want to go.
You're young. She's young. She's very young. She's young. So the sickness, I'm assuming you haven't had to deal with it. There's no maladies. Wow, this is wonderful. This is so wonderful to see. Wow,
they seem like in awe. Wow,
I'm very uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, and it's there.
What is happening on the surface?
The sickness is happening. What are you doing to? You follow Volkos.
Well, I do.
Ada, the one who said she was Ada, she says, well, I do.
My wife and I do not agree on deities of choice, but I do follow Volkos, yeah.
And you are presenting yourselves right now as if you are friendly, kind people. So what have you done about the sickness?
I was there in the beginning. I was there when it started. It's been so long.
Ada kind of steps back into the house and sits down. Kimbra kind of moves out of their way. She moves over here. Ada comes back in and sits down.
I guess originally, you know, the sickness when it came to the glades, it hit so fast. It came out of nowhere. And it started getting to the covens, and I'm sure in those days there were, you know, many who fell to it in the wild spaces. And the druids, they started coming to the covens after all the rivalry. They came to us throats bare, and they asked for aid, and most of the covens gave aid to the druids. And, you know, for a short time between the covens and the druids working together, we were able to kind of help the natural world push back against the blight. The turn happened, and, you know, nobody's still sure of what caused it. Somebody was at the core of the betrayal, but, you know, some people think it was the Spinner Sister Coven, some think it was the Silent Eyes. There's even rumors that the Nightwind Coven came out of the, you know, their caves in the Dune Sea. They struck the first blow. But whatever it was, you know, the damage was crazy. It was full, far and wide. You know, in a matter of weeks, a great multitude of druids were slain. Any member of the coven that didn't join was cut down. All across Maya, the coven started changing their names. They started casting off their old names of power. They started destroying their fetishes. They started breaking their sacred relics. They were profaning themselves, you know, in the name of the Green Queen. Then this giant Grand Coven started to be formed. You know, it was worse than any burners we ever encountered. The, you know, your paladins, your clerics, they would simply just burn people at the stake. This Coven of the Green Queen, they were ruthless. I mean, my mother, she kind of looks at the scythe that is against the wall. She's like, my mother, she was locked in that tooth. You know, they would take the souls of witches and bind them to rocks and trees and weapons, anything they could, if they didn't fall beneath the Green Queen's sway. The witches and hags were able to escape. They went into hiding, and taking what druids they could in. However, you know, the Green Queen, she sent her followers after them, the beasts that can change their shapes. Man, beast, man, you know, and they have that ability to track anything, the magics. You know, we couldn't hide any. So you know, that was when the deal was struck. You would know this, the deal between Foltres and Volkos and Elendgard, the Queen of Blades. You would be aware of that, right? You're a follower of Foltres. Right, the deal between Foltres and Volkos and Elendgard, the Queen of Blades from Acherus. The witches and hags that were able to escape, you know, they kind of fell underneath the triumvirate of Foltres and Volkos and then Elendgard from Acherus. And all the druids who agreed to the pact, they were transformed into their animal forms permanently. They were forever locked into their wild shapes. You know, Mac, he was turned into a large hooded viper. And they were never able to change back into their earthly form, even when slain.
Malik turned into a large hooded cobra?
Viper, yes. Like a pit viper, yeah.
Seen him outside of the tree. Y'all remember?
Yeah, I remember.
I do too.
We, the Covens, who didn't kneel to the Green Queen, the hags and witches, we've been practicing secret ever since, guarding the wild places that we can that the druids once called glades. You know, because my god, who wanders many roads, called me to this place, and he bid me to watch over these dark lands until the druids returned. So we've been here for close to 250 years. Before that, a few of my sisters watched this place, but they were moved somewhere else, and that was when we were brought in. I only knew Malik from when I was much younger. He was friends with my mother, and my mother helped him through his transformation before some of the Spinner sisters locked her in this weapon.
Now, real quick, I'm sorry, I'm asking something out of character here. Is this all jive with history that we know?
It sounds like it's the background of the history you know. Sickness shows up, druids disappear, nobody knows where the druids go.
So this is more of an eyewitness account than like a history book account.
Exactly.
The Green Queen is recognized as a deitetic being.
She's recognized as a force of power. Some see her as a goddess, some see her as a demigod, some see her as just a really powerful entity.
Do I have a knowledge religion check that would say Spinner Sisters are either Arachne or Anansi associated?
Yeah, go for it.
Did Malik leave any other books behind?
Yeah, we actually took some of his journals that he didn't want falling into anybody else's hands, and we've been holding on to them.
I found one of his books earlier, actually. I don't want to pry, but I'd love to get a peek at it, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, of course. Kimbra.
Kimbra's, oh, yeah, of course, yeah, no problem. Let me...
Awesome. So Kimbra's going to take you back to their room and show you. We'll deal with that in a second. Spinner Sisters were... you guys encountered them. Remember the... Okay, flashback time, kids. Listeners and players. I don't know if John Michael and Maddie are going to remember this. Because it's been 15 years-ish, somewhere in there. Logoth was captured with Grendel and some of the other party members on an ice shelf. One of the Spinner Sisters offered them a place to stay for the night. And they ate a lot of food, and then all of a sudden they were there for like 6 months, and it was all like maggot-infested tissue and all this other craziness.
Yeah,
because that was definitely where you guys were trapped in.
Okay, so but any spider god?
Yeah, Anansi. That was part of the takeaway from that. Cool. Yeah, she was because the flame shield is what broke the enchantment.
That was a rough time back in the day, by the way.
You can make that parallel.
Do the names Kavagar and Triss mean anything to either of you?
Kavagar doesn't ring a bell. Triss, maybe? Let me...
She seems to ponder for a minute.
I feel like I recall he was one of the envoy for the Night Whispers, possibly.
Nobody else has passed but us?
We haven't seen anybody down here the entire time we've been here. Other than our friend out front, of course.
What did your friend out front see?
Okay, here's a question. Are you going with Kimber to the bedroom, or are you stopping to ask more questions?
I'm going with Kimber to the bedroom. I thought it was a small house.
Oh, it is a small house, but I mean, you're going to yell through walls that muffle sound? Or, like...
Oh, yeah, it's Dawnstone. My bad.
Right.
Well, if you could move Kimber, I'll know exactly where the bedroom is.
She's back here.
Okay.
As you walk by, Ravy, Nydia squeezes your hand for you to be safe.
You see there's an altar. It has a humanoid figure on it. The humanoid's got a long beard, long hair. It's got a band of crimson over its eyes. It's got, like, kind of horseshoe patterns adorning the base. And it's sitting on this altar right here.
Kimbra, is this a god you follow?
Yes, that is my master.
Ah.
And she reaches underneath the bed and she pulls out four leather-bound books that match the Book of Malak that you have.
And she says, I believe these are what you're looking for. We're supposed to keep a hold of them, but you can, by all means, look through them while you're here.
Okay, I will not remove them. Just to note, I do have my own book that I did take from inside.
More than likely, it was one of the ones we were told to leave, so you're welcome to it. We were just asked to protect these specifically. I believe they have sensitive information in them, something about the sickness and some sort of draconic binding magics that they didn't want to fall into the wrong hands.
All right, I'm going to read these.
So that you'll sit down and go to town on those. What are you guys doing in here?
Is this northern wall, like, behind the table, like you said, was broken away?
Yeah, this is completely broken away. So you can see out to the small other building. Looks like a barn of some sort.
Okay, I'm going to step out away from the table.
Okay.
And kind of, you know, maybe, is there, like, a bench or something out here, or a stump, or, you
know? Sure, yeah. There's...
I'm just going to sit and pack my pipe and kind of ponder what they've told us, see how much it jives with what I know. Religion-wise, and trying to remember trying to think back on my own lore, if there was a time when the priests of Clang actually did burn hags and witches and stuff.
If it happened in the same way that the Crusades took place.
Oh, I see, long before I was...
So, yeah, it would have been long, long before you were born or even thought of, you know. This would have been something that happened at ages past. It seems like they're operating, I don't want to say outside of time as if they're temporally displaced, but they're performing a duty in secret in a tucked away space that doesn't have much interaction with the outside world. Go ahead.
Oh, they're operating off of old knowledge?
I don't even want to say old knowledge. It's kind of like, you know, you hear those urban legends, I guess maybe some of them are true, but you hear those kind of stories where it's like, this person is still on this tropical island thinking he's in a war that has ended like 100 years ago or something to that effect. Yeah, so like these guys are, it's funny. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, it's very much like that. These people are still operating, they're doing a job that maybe was forgot about, or maybe the history was remembered incorrectly. You're basically being presented with new information. Kind of like, what if the devil wasn't wrong? That's kind of or what if there's another side to the story? That's what you're being presented with right now.
Did I see them welcome Nydia with, like, open arms?
Oh, yeah. They're very happy that, I mean, they haven't seen, they asked her what coven she was from. You know, they haven't seen another changeling or witch. You know, they haven't seen one.
So while I've been silent about it, have I noticed Nadia's amber eyes?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other actions going down, guys?
Yeah, I'll ask, since this is your land, do you know a quick, direct route to the surface?
Yeah, there's actually, if you travel west, it'll take you a while to get there, but you'll cross a bridge, large stone bridge, that'll probably take about 3 days to cross itself. Once you get past that, there's the City of Stone. It's made of this Dawnstone stuff, but it's all in ruins now. I think the Yiggs lived there, but now it's just infested with Gugs. Once you get past that, kind of the whole cavernous area starts to narrow. Probably another day's hike or so, continuing west, you'll come to some ledging. If you travel up the ledging, you'll reach lower portions of cave work, make your way through the cave work, and you'll be back out close to the base, the teeth of the world. So yeah, if you're trying to get back to the surface, that's probably your quickest route. You can't go back through the temple that way. All those wards are in place. They prevent anybody from moving through them.
Would I know how far away from the tree that is?
I would say about a week and a half south.
So, Gugs.
Gugs. Big. Smelly. They've got those forearms. Their heads open up like giant mouths. Horrible creatures.
So, can you expand on that at all?
Basically, they've moved into the ancient city of Children of Yig. They moved in once, probably they'd been gone for a couple thousand years. So the Gugs just, I guess, one of the nomadic tribes stumbled upon the city, moved in. They tend to just kind of hunt in packs, bring down anything they can eat.
Okay. Conference and party member. Does that sound like anything you heard of?
We did hear about the Children of Yig when we were in the temple. There were some books on them.
Well, not the children.
Oh, the Gugs.
Gugs.
Have any of us heard of Gugs before, Anton?
Nope. You guys don't know what a Gug is. I mean, you know what a Gug is if you know what a Gug is, but your characters don't know what a Gug is.
Neither one of them knows.
Yeah, okay. It's not exactly ready knowledge. For our listener at home, go Google Gug. That'll be fun for you.
It'd be fun to find out, I suppose.
Now I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Do you have any way to leave messages in the temple at all? Or in the base of the tree area? Because we have a friend who we had to leave up there. I'm a little bit worried about him. And the journey out seems to be quite a trek.
We're not allowed to leave the 3 days in any direction. We can't. This is our glade. We have to stay here. We're bound to this area.
I'll jump back to Ravy. These books are eye-opening. Go ahead and roll me a d4.
I'm on it.
No, these are also one-time use item, by the way. Okay, this is permanent, and it represents all of the knowledge that you've gained. So it will help you when your knowledge checks going down the road. That is a permanent stat increase to your intelligence.
Yes.
So, if it was a 4, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
It was a 1, but still a point stat increase from reading for about 15 minutes is pretty a-okay, I think.
Also, I would like to point out that this is permanent. Is the worst thing that I've ever heard you say in the entirety of my life.
You can never change this.
Not as bad as it does not appear to be trapped. which is still my favorite thing to say.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? So you gain a +1 to int. So basically with that, the knowledge that you gain from these are global. So there's a little bit of everything in here. There's a little bit of history. There's a little bit of cosmology. There's a little bit. Basically, it would be as if you have a bardic knowledge. So now all knowledges are considered class skill for you, which I think they probably already should have been. So if you can make a knowledge check, this bonus will allow you to make a knowledge check on whatever. And then your int score will add to that. It's whatever your bonus may be as we go through.
Yay!
And that's kind of what you pick up. It's less of a direct A to B line of information. It's more of just like a global bit of info. So that's what you're picking up. Rest of the party, what are you all up to?
In a lull in the conversation,
mm-hmm.
Nadia says, so You are trapped here?
It is our duty to stay here.
Was it a choice?
We willingly follow our gods, so yes. None of our gods force us here. We do not work for the Green Queen. We willingly pick our patrons, and our patrons wish us to be here, therefore we are here. We serve Maya the best we can.
Who changed you?
Magic's changed us. The sickness changed us all.
You weren't born from a hag?
No. Some of us chose to take the mantle of the Green Queen and relish in the consuming nature, the behaviors that come with that. And some of us chose to remember where we came from and who we were. Regardless of what the taint has done to us, made us look like or appear to be, some of us remember who we are.
It's possible for hags to reproduce without kidnapping and devouring another person's child.
Oh, yes. Of course. Was this not something you were aware of?
No. In my experience, all hags do this.
No, that's only after the sickness, and that's only those who chose the easy route to follow the Green Queen and bend the knee, to cast off what is important to Maya, and take up the mantle of someone who wishes to corrupt it fully. But not all hags are like that.
This Green Queen, is she also responsible for extra appendages showing up on animals?
That sounds like something she would do, yes.
Eyes on a deer, maybe?
Yes, of course. She revels in corruption. That is what she lives for. The deal struck between Fultrais and Volkas when they were able to work with Elengard. They made the wild places wilder. They gave strength to the elves. They gave strength to the hags who would not bend the knee. They gave strength to the changelings, the fae who were still in the prime. They gave strength to the beasts of the land, infusing them with elemental power. They allowed the wild places to be stronger, to push back against the corruption of the Green Queen, as best they could.
Would you mind having a quick look at some for us? Who's got the arrow vial pendant thing?
I do. I pull it out of one of my apron pockets, but it's been changed.
The sickness you're talking about, what does it do to living things?
Oh, it corrupts them wholly. It basically infuses them with dark energies. It makes their bodies rubbery. Sometimes it gives them more eyes or fangs, wings. It taps them into a more darker nature. It puts them in connection with rage, with a primordialness that is wholly, I don't want to call it evil. That's such a black and white term, but it profanes them in a way.
But it doesn't start showing signs of the natural environment around that creature.
No. That's what we did to allow nature to push back against it.
Holy crap, you guys. We've been wrong this whole time. Show her the arrow.
I do.
It's a rat skull. It's very nice. It has this piece of glass on it.
Didn't always look like that. Okay.
Okay, do I see the arrow?
Yes.
Okay. It's motherfucking Kopex arrow, but what?
Well, no, wait.
This isn't it. You're thinking of Kopo's arrows. This is not those.
Okay. Yeah, this is a rat skull.
With a vial on the end.
A plunger with a glass vial on it.
Yeah.
That has beautifully colored goop in it.
Oh, the goop's gone. It completely turned it away. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it just cleansed it, but didn't.
No, it's gone. She put together what you've just been told. She just gave you the answer of the beads, the arrow, everything just kind of fell into place.
So the sickness was created to fight against the rot or whatever.
The nature part of the sickness.
Right. So the sickness that we've been dealing with is actually
the sickness. Cure. Is the cure.
to the devastation or the corruption.
So the corruption is all internal.
What sickness are you referring to? I'm talking about the profaning hag blight that the Green Queen let loose on the land. What are you talking about?
We thought the sickness was just creatures getting sick and turning into abominations that resemble their natural environments so that
they become hyper-violent.
The only reason that anything that would be infused with the blessings of the three, the only reason they would get hyper-violent against anything would be if that entity was corrupted.
So corrupted, and then the yellow flowers try infuse them with super nature to try to fight back?
Correct, yes. The only way we could spread it was through pollination.
Well, it's not working.
Can you describe these yellow flowers a little bit more?
I pull out a journal and show you a drawing.
Which looks like?
They've got five leaves formed around a bulb. It's got a thick stalk. Kind of like if you took the teacup part away from a daffodil, just the flower that would be left. Except the inside has like little kind of filamentous hairs sticking out of it.
Okay, and it's sorry, man, because it kind of sounds as if the sickness has come from a overexpansion of all of the sentient races. And so nature has come and freaking tried to come against that. Yellow flower really isn't a great description to me.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're linking it all up. It's there.
Okay, I'll be silent now.
Yeah, God forbid you talk on a podcast.
This is the Sin-Thinking podcast.
So anyway, so there was an ancient sickness, and the sickness we're combating, it was the cure to that sickness. Only it's gone haywire. It's gone over what it was originally planned to do.
Or never worked in the first place.
Or worked too well.
We've been down here for about 200 years, but last time we were up top, a lot of the Green Queen's hag blight was pretty much locked into areas that she ran. You know, the elves and the elves were just casting off their cities and embracing the cure fully, so that they wouldn't get corrupted by the blight. I know a lot of the dwarven races were locking themselves down undermount, waiting for the cure to push back against the blight. And I know a lot of the humanoid races were building cities because they were already so infested with the blight from the Green Queen that they were any exposure to the flower or the cure would cause them to kind of shred away from their societies, and you know, nobody knew who was corrupted with what. We made a lot of great relationships with the orc peoples. They were happy to, you know, work with us and help us kind of get rid of a lot of the blight from the wild places and push it back. But we haven't, like I said, we haven't been above the ground in forever.
Yeah, so to that point, and I'm very sorry to be rude, but and I'm not questioning your piety at all right now, but how does a servant of Volcas stay within 3 days of where they are?
When your god asks you to do something, you listen.
Volcas is actually one of those gods that would directly ask somebody to do
something. Yeah, just show up and be like, I need you to do something. All right. I guess I'll listen. So we'll jump back to Ravy real quick. What are you doing?
Have I finished reading the current tome?
Yes.
I'm going to hand that one back. If I still have 3 more to go through, then I'd like to crack into the next one.
Roll a d4.
Okay.
Can she hear our conversation?
No, Dawnstone.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot at all.
Damn Dawnstone.
Kimmer's kind of looking at you, and she's looking at your bag, and she's like,
can I see your books?
Oh, is there anything in particular you like?
Do you have any horror stories?
I do. Hold on. There's a whole row for those.
And she sits down on the floor next to you and opens a book and just kind of like not in a personal define your yeah. trouble sort of way, but yeah. just kind of gets down with a book next to you and starts reading.
It's like kids at the Barnes and Nobles when they're in the manga section.
100%. It's okay. It's exactly like that.
I am okay with this. I put down 5 books next to Kimber, and I keep reading.
He hasn't had anything new to read in 200 years.
Right. So she's very excited about what's going on.
Yep. I can tell a geek when I see one. We're good.
So you guys are reading back to the party. I have a timer running, by the way, so some stuff is happening. I'm just waiting to see what you guys are doing. So carry on with your conversation, however you wish to carry on.
Anton, Nydia, how much does Nydia trust them with a 19?
That's your call. See, DMs, from a storyteller's perspective, your role denotes nothing from their body language, speech patterns, or any small triggers like leaning too much into a conversation, gassing something up, being too friendly. There's an ease when they speak with you, and it's an ease of joy and maybe a little bit of overexcitement because they thought originally that you maybe had come from a coven that was working with theirs to help them out. So, you know, that kind of was there. A little bit of relief. It's a 19. It's a good roll. You also pick up a little bit of, like, kind of sadness. Like, they haven't had visitors. This is the first time they've talked to anybody. But now that you're not a threat, that relief is kind of there. So they're all of that is kind of there. That's what you're getting. You're not getting any kind of hostility. Other than Adam is a little guarded, but she seems, the one with the scythe, but she seems also to be that kind of person. Like, she doesn't necessarily, just like you're untrusting of them, like, she still kind of has to maintain that what do we do kind of situation. You know what I mean?
I do. So I want to turn to Ada and say, I know I have been rude, standoffish, angry, but please understand from what I've told you, that means that I had a family and hags stole me from that family and took away my childhood. And so I don't trust hags. And I don't trust the hags that follow the Green Queen either. Hearing you talk about that and the sickness, I would like to know more.
We would be happy to tell you anything we know.
And then she kind of stops.
Oh, shit.
Everybody roll initiative.
Do I get to roll initiative?
Yeah.
Everybody
roll initiative.
No, it's okay.
Every time it jumped back to you guys, there was a timer. Like, in-game, there's a timer. Something's been happening. It's actually been running for 2 game sessions now. I'm just waiting for it to catch up.